Blog Talk Radio.
Let's get it. Welcome to the war room. We got Dez, Kim, Jimmy, PJ, B. Austin, the Hot Block Commander.
How you wanna end a 1 or 2 hour show to keep the brain running with the premise of talk sports on a national level? Boom with the topic, sort of like the rubber. When it's game time, they like the Fab Five during prime time. Sports conglomerates speak their minds a little bit. For sports medicine and sports veterans and greats, the 4 for 26 or the war in Kuwait. It's the war room with five knights at the round table. Five Philly guys, diversified and educated.
Greetings, sports fans. Welcome back to that room. You are once again live in the War Room, brought to you, of course, by War Room Sports. I'm Devin McMillan, and I'm joined by my partners, the Blueprint, Jimmy Williams. In a minute, we'll be joined by the HBC, B. Austin. The Super Bowl stays away, and our in-depth coverage continues now. But before we dive headfirst into the big game, we have more, you know, stuff for you from around the world of sports, so make sure you join us right now in the JW Philly Realty chat room at blogtalkradio.com/thewarroom, or join us on Facebook or Twitter at War Room Sports so you can join in the conversations. You can also call us directly when we open up the Digital Extreme Tech Hotline. That's about 30 minutes at 323-410-0012, but we especially want to hear from you guys during the second hour when we talk Super Bowl. We want to get everybody's opinion on the big game. You know, what stories are you following? Who are you pulling for as a team and as a single player? All kinds of stuff. So make sure you call in 323-410-0012 in that second hour when we start talking about the Super Bowl. But listen, during the week, make sure you take some time to hear some more great sports talk from some of our partners. You can check out Roy and Chris on the Broad Street Line every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time on Blog Talk Radio. And check out your boy Brandon Pemberton of Sports Track Radio every Thursday afternoon from noon to 2 p.m. Eastern Time, also on Blog Talk Radio. And in addition, don't forget to catch us in syndication 3 times on Fridays on newviberadio.com, 7 a.m., 1 p.m., and 7 p.m. Eastern Time, and on Sundays and Tuesdays at 3 p.m. Eastern Time on fatsradio.com. 3 more days until the big one, gentlemen. Jimmy, as a Broncos fan, what's up, man? You nervous? What's going on?
Yo, I am as happy as R. Kelly at a Girl Scout cookie invention. Yo, I'm so fired up right now, yo. Like, yo, I'm out of control, but yo, I can't. Yo, Bart Scott voice. I can't wait, man.
Can't wait. Yeah, I keep stressing this. You know, the annual thing we've been doing for our Super Bowl parties. You know what I mean? It doesn't get any better than that unless you're at the game, probably in a warm weather city or a dome. I don't think the people in the Giant Stadium are going to be having more fun than us on Sunday night.
Oh, no, not at all. We rent out Thug's Mansion, and we have a huge Super Bowl party, yo.
No doubt.
It's going to be fun, man. I'm looking.
Where nobody can find us, and we can't get in trouble for all the tomfoolery that goes on at a War Room Sports Super Bowl party. All right, so you know, the Super Bowl has been the thing on the agenda for the whole week. We've been covering it, you know, here on our our webcast on warroomsportstv.com, everywhere. So why don't you let everybody else know what else has been going on this week while they were on the grind?
Absolutely. And for those who may be listening for the first time, shame on you. But if you don't know, While You Were on the Grind is brought to you by DirecTV. If you like a better TV experience than cable has to offer, including the NFL Sunday Ticket, go to our website, warroomsports.com, click on the DirecTV logo, and order a better TV experience at a discounted War Room Sports sign-up rate. If you call yourself a sports fan, you got to have DirecTV.
Yeah.
Now, this is usually where we give out most of our JoJo awards for the people who we listen for the first time. Again, shame on you.
Yeah,
but we have our JoJo awards, and you'll soon know what a JoJo award is. Shout out to JoJo. Shout out to Casey. You know, crack is whack. But at any rate, let's just get right into the topics, good brother. Former Lions running back Javid Best is suing not only the NFL, he's suing Riddell and Easton Bell Sports, Yeah. I guess they're both the makers of helmets, right? Like, what is Easton Bell Sports?
Yeah, Rydell.
I know he's suing.
I
know Rydell's
suing. I have no idea
helmets,
what the hell
right?
Easton Bell Sports are. Maybe
yeah, I was trying to figure out what Easton Bell
agents.
Sports do, but
I don't know.
But I know Rydell does, like, helmets and equipment. But not only is he suing the league, he's suing the equipment manufacturer and also Easton Bell Sports. We don't know what they do, but they're named in a lawsuit as well over concussion. So he's suffering as a lot of players are, but he just, you know, not only went after the league like a lot of players do, he's adding everybody on. He's like, yo, this is bigger than Nino Brown. So what do you think about Javid Best?
Yo, I was thinking about that exact quote. I was just watching that before the show. So. This is bigger than Eagle Brown.
He's suing all the G-League. I'm sorry. Go ahead, though.
Well, first of all, Easton Bell Sports, I just looked them up. Rydell is one of their brands. They make
performance company. Got you.
Performance equipment and all that kind of stuff for different sports, and Rydell is one of their companies. So you're
got
right.
Got you. So, so basically, he's suing the league as well as the company that manufactures the equipment, basically.
Right. Over concussions. Now, this is... It's one of those things to me. It's kind of strange because, you know, the guy is only like 25 years old. He was in training camp this season for the Detroit Lions. So it doesn't seem like to me that they ruled his career over due to these concussions. It kind of seems like to me he's feeling like he probably won't get a spot anymore, so now he wants to sue people. But I look at this as like a Pat White situation because, remember, right before he got picked up by the Redskins prior to the season, he was just about to do a law. He was joining a lawsuit against the NFL as well. Soon as he got picked up by a team, he dropped it. So will this be the same type of thing? Like, I'm suing you guys because I'm not making any money right now, but if anybody wants to call and, you know, put me on a team, then I'll forget about all of this. I'm thinking a lot of guys are starting to cry wolf now because they think, you know, these guys sued the NFL and they got paid for it. Maybe I can do the same thing.
Yeah, and I don't know anything about his situation particularly. Right. But, you know, you can't think that, but, man, I just wonder, like, when it's going to stop at some point because, you know, I do feel sorry for these players. But now with all the information that's out there, with all the lawsuits – anyone that continues to play football from this point on and suffers those kind of injuries, at some point it has to be, listen, the education is there. The education wasn't always there. So a lot of the older players, I definitely feel bad for them. And I would include him in that as well because I say over the last couple of years we have more data and more knowledge about what playing the sport does than we probably did over the last 30 years. And part of the couple lawsuits saying that the NFL was hiding information as well. So
that's what I'm saying. The information is out there now. Might be forced. The NFL's hand might be forced. But bottom line is, it's out there. So it is kind of hard at this point to continue with the lawsuits. And after the big one, it's kind of difficult for players to keep doing it. And like I said, since he's 25 years old, I just have that feeling that if somebody came calling, then he'd be right back out there.
He
so how can you, on one hand, sue the NFL for concussions, and then as soon as somebody calls, you know, and this is just speculation, you'll be ready to go right back out there and risk your health again. So
I
hope that
time will tell.
He proved me right.
Time will tell whether or not this is what's going on with him. You know, so I'm gonna hold off all you know, accusations and JoJo award nominations until I find out that's what he's doing. You know, but it does look kind of crazy, man. So
like
hopefully,
if he signs with a team,
okay,
he getting the JoJo for sure. If he end up signing with a team,
absolutely. If he signs with a team,
JoJo
you get me JoJo with a week, JoJo with a month. You know what I'm saying? But Javid Best, it's crazy. I remember Javid Best is a college player. He's a tough running back. But anyway,
he had a crazy concussion in college. That might have been the worst one he's ever had. So that's the
probably
question
where,
that I've seen
from.
A lot of people. Exactly. A lot of people were saying, well, is he going to sue the NCAA, too? Because he had a mean concussion in school. So I don't know, man. Javid tripping. He desperate.
Javid, man, you know. I don't know what to say to you, Javid, yo. But we'll see what happens, man. Let's hold our nominations until we see that Javid does the wrong thing or, you know, what we consider the wrong thing. Next story, Josh Brent. Josh Brent gets 6 months in prison, as well as 10 years of walk-off, 10 years of probation for intoxication manslaughter of his best friend, Jerry Brown Jr. Now, this story is very sad because this was his best friend, and you know he was inebriated. It's a terrible situation, man.
Actually, I meant to change that when we were talking about it, you know, in our pre-show meeting, whatever. He actually avoided prison time. He's just going to do 180 days in jail. And, you know, a lot of people out there might be like, what's the difference? But, you know, you and I know the difference between jail and prison, two different places. But
okay, so he avoided it. So what did he do? What did he actually get?
I mean, he's going to do 180 days, but he's not going to be in, like, some, you know, federal max prison.
No. Yeah, okay, so he's going to do 180 days total. Or is that
right? He's
going to
do 180 days,
earliest,
but then he's
got
to do probation for the next 10 years. So I still think, you know, it was kind of a slap on the wrist. I'm wondering if this is a quote-unquote regular citizen, you know, not a high-profile NFL player, a high-profile athlete or whatever. Would it be the same type of sentence? Like, if I did this, you know, I'd probably be going to jail for more than 180 days.
Like,
but,
it's just one of those things that it's sad, man. People still don't take, like, drinking and driving and driving under influence. They don't take these things serious, yo. They still don't take it serious.
Because this is not his first
sad thing.
I mean, it's the first time somebody died, but he's had a DUI in the past. So, and the prosecution actually tried to use that against him when they were pressing the judge to actually give him real prison time. And I guess the judge, you know, he didn't go for it. He kind of gave him a little scolding speech after he slapped him on the wrist with this sentence, you know, and kind of told him, you're a disgrace to the city of Dallas. And he said some crazy stuff to him like that. How are you going to tell that man he a disgrace? So we might as well let JoJo sing it to him if the judge already told him that he should be ashamed of himself.
He definitely should, man. Especially you keep.
You should be ashamed of yourself. The way you carry yourself.
The way you carry yourself, man. You continually, man. And it cost your best friend his life. So now, not only do he have to do those 180 days and walk off 10 years, but it's like you have to live with the fact that you killed your best friend. I mean. You know, so he's suffering that way as well. I mean, that's just terrible story, man. Terrible story. All right, man. Well, let's continue. Let's continue these crazy stories. Let's talk about the Seahawks fan. Last name Mann, M-A-N-N, named their newborn daughter Cindy. First off, why they spell Cindy that way? Oh, I'm sorry. No.
Cindy.
It's pronounced Sydney. It's pronounced Sydney.
It's still spelled.
But they spelled
stupid.
It. Here's how they spelled it.
Either way you pronounce it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
C-Y-D-N-E-E, pronounced Sydney.
God, she's Sydney
Lee.
For the life.
Sydney Lee, 12th man. So actually, one of her middle names is 12th. Yo,
I'm gonna let B. Austin. What's up with your Seahawks people, man? Sydney Lee, 12th man, because their last name is Man with two N's.
Listen,
is that too much?
It's definitely too much. With the type of things that I've seen in the African American community in terms of names, I'm not going to take a shot at this, man.
Are you kidding me? You must have.
You're not going to take a shot at them.
They,
I got to take a shot.
They're just yo. You talk about you try to say African American. Yo, they're worse.
Yeah, Sydney 12th. How is 12
like
spelled? Is it 1-2-T-H or is it T-W?
Yes. It's 1-2-T-H. Yo, I'm starting to think, like, all this stuff, because it's, you know, a lot of this craziness in Seattle happened before the Super Bowl, but, you know, everything is being, you know, everything is just out on blast because of the Super Bowl. I'm starting to think, and I've been there before, and I thought it was a pretty nice city besides, you know, all the rain, but I'm starting to think there is nothing else to do or nothing else worth anybody's time in Seattle but the Seattle Seahawks, because people are going crazy over the Seahawks. And you'll see further what we're talking about when Jimmy tells us about the next story, but you're going
to
really
be Austin,
12
to your point.
Yo,
what you said,
names,
though? Now, listen, man, ratchetness knows no color. I saw a story the other day.
That's
a white family
true.
Named
this
their.
This is true.
They named.
Honey Boo Boo.
I saw a family the other day, a white family, who named their daughter Molly. and they thought it was funny, but she had to EE, and they said, you know, because after Molly, like, you know, anyway. But,
oh,
yo, Ratchetness knows no color, man, so they're out of control.
I totally agree with that.
And that's the thing.
1-2-TH?
Back in the days, probably like in the late 60s, early 70s, you know, Molly was a name, but, you know, M-O-L-L-Y. But I don't even think anybody would go there with the name anymore just because, you know, you could grow up loving that name, but after they name a drug after that, you know, there's no way you can name your kid that. And these people actually named their kid that with the drug in mind.
That's what made it worse.
That's what I'm saying. They named it like that with the actual drug in mind, so that's even worse. People are, you know, 12th, though.
Yo, man, we
got to
do better, yo.
Her middle name
is
12.
Yo, and it's numbers, though, like yo, yo, yo.
It's 1-2. It's 1-2.
I hope she changed her name to Ocho Cinco when she turned 18.
Yo, man, like, people don't realize they make the city. Yo, that kid has to live with that for the rest of their life, man. And you know,
she should change it to 49er when she grow up. Her parents will probably try to kill her.
Ooh, that's tough. All right,
Sydney
y'all, let me ask you about
49er man.
A Seattle Sea Chicken fan. They got the Super Bowl 48 tattoo on their arm saying Seattle Seahawks world champions with, you know, the logo of the Super Bowl, what have you. Already they got the tattoo.
And they actually claimed, dude, did this prior to the – he said they did this prior to the season. Way overconfident.
They're going to be severely upset when they see Peyton Manning walking out of there with that trophy. They are going to be severely upset.
I think,
but you know what? With tattoo, with tattoo removal being what it is, I guess I can't call it.
Nah, the tattoo removal, like, tattoos are expensive enough. They cost more to remove them, and a lot of these people don't really look like.
And it don't really work.
Got it all like that. But listen. I know what it is to be a diehard fan. You know what I'm saying? I know what it is to be a fanatic. But there are certain lines that I myself, in my die-hardiest of days, would not have crossed. Like now, it's a little bit more in perspective for me. You know, I got a family now. Some things just have to be more important than sports. But
not really.
And like there would have been a time where I would have thought about, like, had my team won a Super Bowl, I would have thought about throwing a logo somewhere. But it would have never gotten to a point where I was confident enough about my team that I did that before the game or before the season. I mean, you guys, we all from Philly, and y'all know I'm a Philly fan, so is that like pessimism runs through the ranks in Philadelphia, so there's no damn way, you know, this would happen. I'm pretty sure there's somebody out there who has, but that's just not something that you would expect in that town. But this is crazy.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely crazy, man. And you know, it's like,
I think he's a nominee.
I was gonna say in our case, being Philadelphia Eagles fans, we never believe they're gonna win until they have won, and since they haven't, you know, I doubt that we're silly enough. But a lot of times, you know what it is, and I hate to take it here, but it's just a function of society, man, and the lack of paternal influences on a lot of these folks, man. Like, they need heroes.
Yo, how you get there with the tattoo, though?
They need heroes. They need heroes, man, because your sense of self and pride shouldn't allow you. It's kind of like you said to the boy, how are you just going to hop on it?
I would get a tattoo of my squad's logo. I definitely would. Like, I read that.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I'm saying? But at the end of the day, though, this is kind of like, this is something different, man.
But it's extreme. It's the extreme that you're going to. Like, I can see
getting a tattoo of a logo. Dev makes the point. There's something in the water in Seattle, because outside of the love for their sea chickens, like, yo, the Sounders, the love they get is definitely out of control. But it makes me think, like, why didn't they fight like this for the Supersonics?
No, they didn't care about basketball.
Or unless the culture of the city has changed since then, because it's been a while. There's a lot of new money in
front.
Seattle as well.
The Supersonics have always been the best team in that city. Like, this is all new, the way they're acting about these Seahawks.
Remember the 12th man has been around for a while, because I remember Sean Alexander, them going crazy with him. Since Paul Allen is on the team. I'm just saying, I don't remember that kind of fight. Now, I remember there was, like, small fractions of people fighting when they left Seattle. But I don't remember, like, the kind of the way they act about their teams now. I just don't remember it that way. Now, the culture of the city could have changed as well, because there's a lot of new money in Seattle with a lot of different tech companies making their home there. There's a lot of new money. So maybe the entire culture of the city has changed. But I'd be interested to see them get a basketball team, take it out of one of these other stupid markets, and put it in Seattle. That's a whole other story. If they're going to support the way they support a stupid market.
It's a lot of stupid teams, man.
It's a lot of stupid teams. Like, Minnesota don't need no team, man. Yo, they should move the world champions over there to Seattle, man, because they don't even get no support from their fans. And they got
definitely.
Back-to-back
checks. No, Seattle is a better market for basketball than Miami. I stand behind you 110% on that.
Yo, they won two chips, and they still can't sell out of this arena, yo. Could you imagine if the Sixers won two chips, how crazy the city would be?
Yo.
And how, yo, you could it'd be a line for tickets for 5 years.
Yo, if the Sixers won a chip, my marriage would be in jeopardy from the way I acted.
Yo. Yo, extreme are we. I know we're not talking about this, yo, but to the city of Miami, yo, you don't support your basketball team, so for you.
You should be ashamed of yourself.
That had nothing to do with what was going on while you were on the grind, but, you know, watching a lot of Heat games, yo, I just feel bad, but that's either here nor there. Anyway, gentlemen, those are the stories and things that have happened while you were on the grind this past week. It's time to give some birthday shout-outs, Dev. Who's having a birthday?
All right. Time for those birthday shout-outs. Like Jimmy said, birthdays, of course, are brought to you by Dr. Monique Roll of Alexandria Podiatry Associates. For the best and comprehensive treatment of injuries to the foot, ankle, and lower extremities, visit Dr. Monique Roll of APA, treating patients in the D.C., Maryland, Virginia area and beyond. Visit alexandriapodiatry.org or call 703-379-0700. Again, that number is 703-379-0700. And make sure you tell them that War Room Sports sent you. You better do that.
My birthday.
I'm not going to like
Yay!
It if you don't. All right. First birthday shout-out goes to, I think this is somebody we're all a fan of, you know, especially when we were coming up. His college team set the standard and kind of represented everything that we were back then, the Fab Five. Mr. Jalen Rose, the point guard, turns 41. So shout-out to Jalen Rose.
My birthday. Yay!
Shout out to Jalen for another reason, because I watch him on TV now, and he has gotten a lot better. Because when he first started on TV, I was complaining, like, is he ever going to make it, and why is he on TV? But he's worked on his craft and gotten even better at that.
I was complaining about the gear he wore. Like, the clothing was...
I mean, he's from Detroit,
Yo, he looked like a Detroit...
When you're from Detroit, you get like a little... You get graded on the curve, because that's what they do.
Yeah. And I don't know what his ranking is, B. Austin, in the hierarchy over at Grantland, but he's definitely like the second most visible person over there to Bill Simmons. So yeah, shout out to Jalen.
I'm glad you brought that up too, Devin. And we don't usually give shout outs to other podcasts unless you want to War Room Sports Network. But I just want to say that his podcast is pretty quality, man. Pretty good podcast.
Yeah, they had fun.
Remember when he first started? When he first started at the
show, we're sitting around with a baseball bat on his shoulder.
He grabbed the ball and he dribbled two times and he scored. I'm like, yo, they got to get bored on TV, but you know, hard work and dedication, like Floyd Mayweather say, man. So shout out to him for getting a lot better at his craft.
All right, so shout out to the younger of the NBA's Gasol brothers. Mark turns 29 this week. Shout out to Mark Gasol.
Yay!
Yeah, you know you're getting old when Marcus Saul is 29. I remember when he was in high school.
Yeah. Shout out to one of Donovan McNabb's most clutch receivers. Aeneas Williams turns 46 this week. A lot of people out there are not gonna get the sarcasm. They're just gonna be like, "What the hell are these dudes talking about? Aeneas Williams being a receiver?" But think about
Aeneas Williams and Rondé Barber are two of Donovan's greatest targets. Man. He could always find them, always.
So shout out to Aeneas for stopping my team's trip to the Super Bowl back in 2001, when the Eagles played the Rams in the NFC Chip game. That was the start of our misery. And shout out to one of the greatest receivers of all time that you don't really hear too much about. Andre Reed turns 50 this week.
Yay!
Yes,
Carlos,
he
I don't
nice.
Hear much about Andre Reed.
I mean, he was quiet when he played. That? He just is the guy that did his job, shut his mouth, and I guess he went away the same way.
Andre Reed could catch seven passes for 140 yards, and you wouldn't even know it.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
Man, it is what it is type of thing.
One could argue that you're saying Andre Reed was a meaningless stat stuffer and didn't impact the game well enough to be noticed. But then, on the other hand, somebody gets to say he was just a silent assassin. Either way, I don't
All right, now, you're saying, which one are you saying?
I'm just throwing out the options. I don't know. I have no idea. I mean, they did enough as a team, so, if you have a receiver that great, then I guess he did impact something. They went
didn't
to four
play,
straight
didn't
Super Bowls.
He play for the, didn't he play for the Eagles at one point?
Andre Reed?
Did he? Yeah, did he play one season?
When he got old?
Yeah, when he was damn
near dead. I don't remember. So that if he did, then that would be another example of Andre Reed being too quiet to make a difference. I'm checking for you right now.
Andre on his birthday.
No, it wasn't the Eagles. It was the Reds. It was Washington. He played.
You know what?
2000.
We had Lofton. I get those two confused. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, we had and we have Fryer, but
Yeah.
Yeah, Reed went to Washington for the 2000 season and played in 13 games but didn't start any. Had 10 receptions for 103 yards. That used to be a good game for Andre Reed. That was his whole season. Hang him up, homie. Time to hang him up, homie. Give it up. All right. Those are your birthday shout-outs for this week. We'd like to wish all of these gentlemen,
yay!
A happy birthday from everybody here at War Room Sports. Real quick, before we move on, everybody, make sure when you get some spare time and you get in front of a computer, check out warroomsports.com. While you're there, be sure to sign up for the War Report. That's our weekly newsletter. It comes out once a week. We don't flood your inbox with a bunch of garbage. Click on the Contact Us tab to send a message to us about our company, the show, or to inquire about sponsorship and advertising opportunities. For general inquiries, just shoot us an email, info@warroomsports.com. Now, while you're browsing the site, make sure you click on everything. Click on the memorabilia tab. Buy War Room Sports merchandise. Support your boys. Click on the blog tab to read our latest sports articles in the All's Fair in Sports and War blog. Then you can click the respective icons to like our Facebook page, follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest, everywhere. Jimmy, would you say you got us on Christian Mingle, Farmers Only?
Yeah,
we
Farmers
on
Only, yo.
Black
Hit
Planet,
up War Room Sports on Farmers
My
Only,
face.
Yo.
everywhere. Icons are on the website, so make sure you click on
Snapchat.
Those icons, and you can follow us on all of those social media networks. You can
Porn
subscribe
up.
To our iTunes podcast. Download our free War Room Sports mobile app. Now, that's important. To download the mobile app in the Android market or in the the Apple I store. I don't know. I'm not an Apple.
Yeah, you can tell that
we're
an Android
there.
Guy by this way
you
said it.
You know we're in there. So make sure you get that mobile app.
You know
can
I
do
was
everything
there,
I just mentioned all in one place, right there on your mobile phone or your tablet, iPad, whatever you got. All right. So right now, you could join the JW Philly Realty chat room during the show so you can rap to us, get your opinions heard on the show. That's blogtalkradio.com/thewarroom. To enter the chat room, just sign up for a free profile on Blog Talk Radio. If you don't want to do that, you can sign in through your Facebook and Twitter accounts, and while you're at it, click follow so you can get updates and reminders about the show. We might be doing some special episodes at special times like we are this Sunday. We'll be taking questions and reading posts from Facebook, Twitter, and the chat room during the show. To call in and speak with us, dial the Digital Extreme Technologies hotline, which is now open. The number is 323-410-0012. Press 1 when prompted. If you're already listening from your phone, just press 1 if you want to talk. Now, I done spent all this time telling you guys about all of that. You have no excuse not to know. So like I asked before, please support your boys. And
we will
check out the website.
If
browse
you don't
for a
do
while.
As we say.
All right,
and spread the word
here's
for
the bottom line.
Us. Please spread the word for us. Each one teach one.
We're going to jump into some hot topics, but before we do, I just got to say, listen, man, the easiest way, because everybody has a smartphone, download our mobile app, because what you don't realize is we're more than just a talk show. It's an entire experience, and you can get it all right from the mobile app.
Conglomerate.
And besides, it doesn't take up that much space on your phone anyway. And also, put it on your home screen so your friend can say, yo, what's that? And you'd be like, yo, it's the Warroom Sports Experience. Anyway.
Oh, yeah.
Hot topics are brought to you by Audible. Is your schedule too hectic to read as much as you want? Try audiobooks and kick back and let someone else do the reading for you. All you have to do is visit Audible and sign up for your free trial. That's audibletrial.com/warroomsports. You guys know that I'm a huge fan of audiobooks. Reading is fundamental, and you can get all kinds of selections. And if you want to talk sports, there are a lot of great sports books out there. The next one I'm getting ready to dig into, I just finished the Dr. J book. I read the Shaq book, the Magic book, the Bird book. But I'm about to read the book, the Wilt Chamberlain book. That's
oh,
the next book on my list.
Oh,
so look out for that book review probably sometime next month,
put
depending upon how long the book
board.
Is.
What's but, that called? Sex, money, and sex. Sex, money, and sex. No
yo,
basketball.
That's the next one of my. Cause I have this thing now where every month I'm going to try to read a sports biography because it makes you look at the game, different games. You know, in a lot of ways, but I figure let's go with Wilt this time, see what's going on with Wilt. But anyway, you can go get the Wilt Chamberlain book for free because if you go to audibletrial.com/warroomsports, you do get a free book. So if you don't want to keep the service, don't keep it, but why not go get a free audio book? Anyway, gentlemen, some hot topics. This story we talked about so much that I'm tired of talking about it, but new news is out. Richie Incognito. His lawyer says that Martin's texts were just as vulgar as the ones that were released by Richie. We saw Richie's text. We haven't seen Martin's text, but how can you say that and not show us what you're talking about, though, good brother?
the thing is, what I've read, you know, of course, like Jimmy said, the Incognito's lawyer is kind of shooting back right now, and he's not making light of, well, he's not actually making public all of the text that he may be talking about, but he did give an example when he was talking about it because, you know, the whole point of it is he was trying to say that, you know, this was banter amongst friends. This was just friends razzing each other, and the way the story was reported and the way everything came out, it just made Richie Incognito look like this bully and this racist, you know, really vulgar and stuff like that. But they said that Martin sent him a text that said, the dude's name is Schlammel, that's the lawyer. It says he alleges that Martin sent text to Incognito which, quote-unquote, included threats to send someone over to Richie Incognito's home with a tranquilizer gun and sandpaper condoms to homosexually rape him, and another one said he would kill Richie's whole family. So like,
yo.
No, like, seriously, that sounds like to the lay ear, that sounds really, really vulgar, but it does sound like something between, you know, two friends who feel that they can speak to each other like that.
Yeah, man.
But,
I mean, and that's the thing about this whole situation is, like, I understand what they're doing, but, yo, if they read the messages we send between each other, like, yo, they would think that we're, like, yeah, we be going to prison. Like, they're the most misogynistic, racist.
Yo.
No,
I'm
one
just
of y'all.
Saying, but I'm saying we be joking. But at the end of the day,
if our text messages got published One of y'all be going to jail for bullying, for
everything.
For everything. For everything.
Yo.
That's my point.
Yo.
That's my point,
yo,
though,
Jimmy,
man. Like,
yo, Jimmy is dry snitching because I've been going over 20 years. I'm already going to talk
to
it.
No, like, I'm saying, though, but I can only imagine, like, you know, when you have friends that talk to each other, man, you know, everything, you know how it is, man. Like, so my whole thing is, this is out of control, man. They're text messages.
See,
I mean, you know.
This has been my question the whole time, Jimmy, though. It's like, is he being sincere? Like, is he telling the truth about, you know, how he felt and what this really was?
No.
Or, no, but no, is he telling the truth? And maybe, now this is just speculation, maybe it could have been a situation where Jonathan Martin just reciprocated this kind of talk because he was trying to fit in while the whole time he may have been uncomfortable with it. See, I'm not saying if that's the case, then it's right, because you're still throwing these guys under the bus. You could be a man and say, I don't get down like that. Don't talk to me like that.
Yo.
You know what I'm saying? You don't have to, if that's the case, you don't have to join in. And then later on, when you come to your breaking point, you had this man out in the media looking like a straight-up monster, you know, and you running away from your team. So that's just one.
That's
you
even
know,
worse.
A little speculation. Like, yeah, no, that's
that even worse.
Be
no,
worse.
That's a great.
That probably will be worse.
That's a great point. That's a great point, because for me, either way, it's hashtag free Richie Incognito, because on one hand, Jonathan Martin is perpetuating false pretense, if it's what you just said it is. On the other hand, he's just, like, I think this dude is lying. I don't care. I think he's lying, man.
You think he's just tired of playing football, but he wants some kind of settlement?
Yo,
at the end
he
of the
got
day?
In the league. He found out that this is one of those dudes that had all the talent in the world, but he had no real desire, and he could get
he
away
said
with
he was pretty much struggling.
Talent.
He was struggling on the field, you know, before.
Yeah, no. He got there because mentally he never wanted to really play football. He's 6'3", 370 for no reason. So we got in the league, and I'm like, oh, he's in the deep water. And it's like, oh, man, oh, no. This is his out. He's going to put a lawsuit out there. They're going to get $5 million off of this. And that's his come up. I mean, this is fraudulent, man. This is
Yo,
fraudulent.
You know what the more telling thing is? Because we know how the team kind of – they've kind of rallied around Incognito, not officially,
yes.
But, you know, some of their comments, you can tell who they rather have back in the locker room as opposed to who they won't welcome back in the locker room. Well, you know that when we reported it months ago and we talked about the trip to Vegas that the offensive linemen go on, the one where he claimed he got extorted for like $15,000 because he didn't go, they took that trip again, and neither one of those guys are actually on the team right now, but Richie Incognito went on the trip. I don't even think Jonathan Martin would have been welcome on the trip. So that tells you a whole lot about the situation. So at this point, whether he's telling – I don't know. I do think Richie Incognito is kind of getting a bum rap in this whole thing, especially if they have proof that both of these guys spoke to each other that way, in a, you know, as friends. So – and this has nothing to do with this situation whatsoever. I was just watching Ray Lewis on my monitor, and I'm – notice his waves go the wrong way. Why they do that?
Yo, they're not even real. No. He booked them down.
Yo, did y'all notice that? Yo, his waves go from like front to back instead of side to side.
Front back and side to side.
Yo, it's funny because we love Ray, you know, for what he brought to the game of football, the way he played the game of football, but quiet as kept. He's a
cool
ball, bro.
But now that he's done, yo, it's time for him to go away. I ain't going to even lie. Y'all know there's no bigger Ray fan than me.
He got an Andre Reed.
But it's time for him to go away, man.
It was kind of time when he was still there.
It was
kind of
time when they won the bowl, yeah.
Every time he got interviewed, he was preaching. It was funny at first, but then, you know, it kind of got kind of old. Like, yo, he preaches every time they ask him a question. Like, stop preaching.
Like, how about that one tackle? Oh, no weapon. Like, yeah, he was out of control. He was out of control a little while ago, you know what I'm saying? Like, so, man.
Nobody gave us a shot. Nobody. But you still got to play the game, guys. We knew that. We knew that. And we came in here, and before we walked out of halftime, I just grabbed everybody's hands, and we just said, no weapon. As a team,
hold up, dog.
No weapon. Man can't control what God has already blessed and destined. told them that we had been here before. You know, we ran this race before in Pittsburgh, and we watched that. We watched that same drive. And for us to go down there and do it, we said that when we came out here, we was going to claim victory. We claim victory. Victory is ours. It's ours, man.
Go away. Amen.
Yo,
amen.
Guys, I just want to say that.
Yo, let the church
that.
Say
I
amen,
wanna,
man.
Man, you're right. I'm being disrespectful to the Lord. Of the Lord.
Let the church say amen, man. Yo, but first
no
of all,
weapon.
He said at the halftime, I grabbed everybody's hand. Yo, it's like 50 other dudes.
How you do that?
Took the time. Like, y'all got to get back on the field. You grabbed 50 other hands? Like,
yo.
Yeah, come on, Ray. You ain't grab
yo,
everybody.
Man. You got everybody's
Ray
hand.
Was,
you got 52 men hands. No weapon.
And that dude named
anyway,
Sal.
Anyway.
He called
no
him
weapon,
Sal.
Sal. Yeah, but
he didn't put an L on it. He
no
said,
weapon,
Sal.
He called him S-A-I. No weapon, Sal. F-O-X,
yo, that's
Ray.
My dude, Ray Ray, man. Ray Ray was preaching on the air.
Time to go away. What we call him last
it's
year?
Time,
TD Ray.
It's time for Ray to go. And that's my homie, man. That's my yo. He did a lot for the game, a lot for us as fans watching.
Yo.
But it was time to go.
Yo,
and I knew it was
five.
Time to go, but I'm a loyal dude. So when y'all were clowning, I was just riding with him, but I knew it was time for Ray to go, man.
Shout out to Patrick Willis. Shout out to Patrick Willis. But, yo, the thing
my
is, though,
Ray,
he's talking about
my man Ray,
the
you know,
time,
get up
man,
there and
but...
say, now, please, turn to chapter 6, verse 7 in Isaiah, the book of, and get
yo,
rolling.
Yo, what I'm saying is this. No, nobody is above slander, yo. We will slander Ray Lewis as much as we appreciate when
oh,
he
yeah.
brought the football. Anyway,
oh, yeah.
man. Let's talk about
now, there is some folks
minute,
that's
man.
Above slander. Now, B-Dawg is above slander.
I slandered B-Dawg.
I don't think anybody's above slander in the
and
world,
and I'm a B-Dawg Stanley. I've said some things about B-Dawg.
Yeah, I'm
you
pretty sure.
About
I don't
Dawg?
Think there's one athlete. Yeah. I don't think there's one athlete that we haven't slandered. Like, you know, and that includes all the greats, yo. Whether it be Wilt, Michael Jordan, Magic Johnson. We slander everybody,
I'm
yo. Well, there's nobody, yo.
If
our
not,
favorite athlete.
Mom,
if you talk about one athlete that all five of the War Room generals have in common,
dang,
that we all
between
love.
The five between the five of us, you're probably right.
Yeah, but here's the thing,
yo,
though.
If,
I think there's only one athlete. When I think about all athletes that have ever played any sport, there's probably one athlete that all five of us is a consensus that we all love, and that's probably Mike Tyson. But the thing is,
oh,
yo,
yeah.
how can you not slander Mike? Mike slanders himself.
Yeah,
you,
Mike slanders himself. Yeah, exactly.
No. I just act like it ain't happening. When it's something that's so bad, when Mike does something that's completely outlandish, I just act like it didn't happen and keep on moving.
Yo, well, B. Austin, you put up the best point that Mike Tyson gets away with stuff that we would never let anybody
yo.
Else get away with, yo.
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 Mike Tyson.
Mike, were you really
Mike
sick this
Tyson.
Week? What was the problem?
I broke my back.
What do you mean by that? Your
back is broken.
What, a vertebrae or
well,
what portion?
Spinal.
Nobody
yo,
can
Mike
get away with that, man, but Mike. Yo,
yo
that's
nobody,
an excuse.
Man.
Nobody going to get away
yo.
With that but Mike. But
no.
with Mike, we just
I
laugh it off.
To you and talk about fornicating with you and letting you suck my because
whoa.
If I was eloquent with you, you would still look at me as a scumbag.
That's what I'm saying. Like, yo, some
of
the stuff. Yo, some of the stuff he says, though, like what about this
one?
I'm the most brutal and vicious and most ruthless champion there's ever been. There's no one can stop me.
No.
Lynx is a conqueror.
No.
no, I'm Alexander. He's no Alexander.
No,
I'm
no.
the best ever. There's
that's
never
right.
been anybody as ruthless. I'm Sonny Liston. I'm Jack Dempsey. There's no one like me. I'm from Nairclaw. There's no one that can match me. My style is impetuous.
No.
My defense is impregnable. And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children. Praise be to Allah.
No, that's not the worst, yo.
That's what makes
the worst,
the funniest
yo, the worst,
the last
no,
line,
the
yo.
Worst one, the worst one. We don't even have. He got up on stage and said, "I will make love to you
I'll
until
make
you love
me. Until you love
I will,
me."
Yo,
and he was talking
you
to a
love
dude.
Me. And then
yo,
called
talking
him
to another grown, yeah, grown man.
But
we act like that ain't happening. We all Mike fans.
Yo,
man.
I just act like it was all right, cool. I mean,
yeah. Anybody else, B. Austin would have got the pause police for that. But Mike,
yeah.
we just let
yeah,
it lie.
No doubt.
We just laugh at it.
We just act like Mike.
Yeah,
yo, you saw the picture.
Everybody in the room was afraid when he was doing it. So.
Yo, the picture Mike took the other day where he just grabbed the boy's arm, Joel Santana.
Yo,
he just grabbed him.
Everyone in the picture act like that wasn't happening.
Because it's Mike.
They're afraid.
Yeah.
Yo, everyone.
Mike got the whole room straight. And the funny thing is.
Yo, the boy Jewels was like, it's cool. I don't need my wrist. Of course he can hold it. I don't need it. Bro, what's up?
After Mike, they got his boot stretched a million times. Anyway, man, let's move on, man. Let's talk about some hoops real quick because we have to spend from 7 o'clock on. We're going to break down the big game coming up. But before we get to that, let's talk about basketball for a second.
First thing is
Players of the Week, Dev. Who are the players of the week in the National Basketball Association?
Players of the Week this week, Paul Millsap of the Atlanta Hawks and the usual, Kevin Durant of the Oklahoma City Thunder. All right, Millsap led the Hawks to a 3-1 week. He averaged 21.3 points, 51% shooting from the field, 7.3 rebounds, 3.8 assists, 2.5 steals, and 2 blocks. Millsap was stat stuffing this particular week, so I see why he actually won it. Kevin Durant, who's still on the 30-plus point streak that he's on, he led Oklahoma City. They had a 4-0 week, but he only played in 3 of the games. He missed the win against the Celtics. They didn't really need him. He just summoned his teammates to play like he was playing. But he averaged 38 points per game, 8.7 rebounds, 6.3 assists. And, of course, he had the 32.14 rebound, 10 assist triple-double against my lowly Philadelphia 76ers. So shout out to Paul Millsap and Kevin on fire, Durant, Durantula, the new nickname they got for him, the Slim Reaper, KD, whatever you want to call him. He's killing the league right now. And
MVP.
He has a little
MVP.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, man. Like
he made his case
KD
for it in the
right
game
now,
in Miami
ridiculous.
The other night.
Yeah. What he's doing right now is just utterly ridiculous. We talked about it, a lot, whether it was on Court Vision or on our podcast last week. Like, he's just putting up ABA numbers. Nobody can stop him. It doesn't matter who you put in front of him. And he's playing out of his mind. I mean, this guy,
even
his size Brown, and his abilities, y'all.
He's not better than LeBron, though.
I don't think he's better than LeBron yet. I mean, we go by body of work here in the war room. We're not about what you did, We're not on that Janet Jackson tip. We about body of work, so.
What have you done on
that night? For me lately. Ooh, yeah. Anyway, that's before she was pulling her. Never mind. Now, Paul Millsap, on the other hand, I think it was Frank who mentioned it on the Court Vision we got coming up. Frank was talking about how no one really cares about Paul Millsap. You can say he's underrated, but no one still cares about Paul Millsap. So shout to him for the numbers he put up and what he's done this past week. So he's been playing well. Anyway, here's a good story.
I expect to hear his name called when they do the reserves, when they name the reserves for the All-Star game. I expect to hear his name called. He's having a pretty good season. But we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, that'll be good. I mean, he's one of those guys, man, under the radar guys that probably could help a good team, man. But, he'll never get his shine in this league unless he plays in certain places. Now, anyway. Speaking of getting a shine for playing in certain places, Carmelo Anthony, he set a new Madison Square Garden record with 62 points. But the funny thing is, after scoring 62 points, he was still getting slandered, maybe even more than ever, because he had zero assists. The criticism got worse. How did your criticism get worse after scoring 62? Well, people were saying that he didn't pass the ball enough. He had zero assists. The Knicks won the game. Melo had zero turnovers. Yet people focused on
first time in 37 years a player has played a full game with zero turnovers. To bring that up,
because
he played a full game with zero turnovers.
Right, to score 62 points and the ball's in your hand a lot, and to not turn the ball over, I think that's a little more impressive than bashing him for not having any, having any assists. I think people go a little overboard with this because right now LeBron James is the standard bearer in the league. Because I think when a lot of people criticize Melo, they forget that, outside of LeBron James, especially at that particular position amongst superstars, besides LeBron James, there aren't a lot of
superstar small forwards in the league, period. But there aren't a lot of superstar small forwards who are averaging assist numbers, you know, like LeBron at 6.5 or above. So I think it's becoming an overrated notion to expect scorers to have all-around games, and that's just not what they – I mean, that's just, not
well,
Mello.
What you're doing?
He's not a dime dropper, and that's not his job. So why do we – you know, why do we condemn people for not doing things
that
aren't a part of their
what
game?
What you're doing
Everybody
right now is trying to apply logic to an illogical phenomenon of lemmings and sheeple who have already decided to jump off the cliff of hate where it comes to Mello. I mean, you know how it is. Lazy intellect allows itself to be dictated to by cliche. So the cliche logic is, we don't like Mello. Mello doesn't pass enough. He shoots too much.
He has to make his teammates better.
So he has to make his teammates better. Yo, why do I have to make grown men who play a child's game and get millions of dollars for it better? Why do I have to take Raymond Felton to a treadmill and make that MFO run and get in shape? Why do I have to stand Prigioni up and make him walk straight and act like he's not 70 years old? Why do I have to give the big yellow, badass yellow boy some offensive game? Why do I have to give Tyson Chandler some offensive game?
But
why
that
do I have
cliche,
to put a brain
in the way
in
yeah, you can't go through the whole team, though. But even
the way that
people mean that cliche, I think it's still an overrated cliche because people like Mello, people like Kobe, people like Allen Iverson, these are guys who've been accused of not making their teammates better. Yo, their teammates, if you want to, you know, speak figuratively like that, their teammates are better just by their presence on the court. You get easier shots because everybody's paying attention to me.
You just stole
my
entire point.
Like if you can't knock down an open shot, then you suck.
I was watching, you know, and it's funny because now we break down everything and we look at advanced statistics and things of that nature. And I was looking at, they were talking about Russell Westbrook and how many open shots his teammates get when he plays versus when he doesn't play. And a lot of it has nothing at all to do with his assist totals, just how he pushes the pace, the amount of attention he gets. So when you have guys who play at that level, they make their teammates better, yo, just by tying their shoes. Like, yo, if Kobe ties his shoes and walks on the court, everybody's
just by
better.
Checking
like,
in.
Yo, it just is what it is. But here's the thing, though. In reading that Dr. J book, which you can get for free if you go to audibletrial.com/warroomsports, he talks about how in the NBA a lot of times, like, you know, people have, like, their time. So we know it's LeBron's time. And because of that, a lot of people get overlooked. He was talking about, like, you know, playing in the 80s, you had, like, Bernard King, Dominique Wilkins, even guys like Kiki Vandeweghe. Their small forward position, Terry Cummings, was so deep that you have a lot of guys who were extremely talented, but it's like the way people look at it is if you don't win a championship, then you're a bust. Carmelo Anthony is literally one of the top 10 basketball players in the world.
In the universe, right? And only prove that every time he plays in the Olympics.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, he's one of the top 10 players in the entire universe. Like, but at the end of
honestly, at the position, there's only two people better: LeBron and Durant. Who's a better small forward than that dude?
And this is true.
He rendezvous as a power forward half the time these days.
Here's the thing is, like, he's going to suffer from playing in a generation with a Durant and LeBron, and there's nothing he really could do about it. I mean, it just is what it is. If he came around,
like,
you know, a couple years later.
Right.
Absolutely. There's so many greats.
Just like
that
so
was
many
the point of me bringing that
the
up. There's so many greats
couldn't
they
get
a
ring. So many greats in the 90s
people look
couldn't
at Barkley
get a ring because
being
the Chicago
a bust,
Bulls
Patrick Ewing being a bust.
Dominated.
Yo,
exactly.
These guys were
amazing
basketball players. Amazing
like
basketball
that. What would
players.
They be, what
can't...
would they be saying about Hakeem had Jordan not retired, you know, for
wow.
2 years?
Wow, that's a great like, – I was just thinking about that, too.
If,
just
you know,
thinking
if
about
they couldn't get those rings while he was still there, you know what I'm saying, how would we look at him? Personally, me, I'd still look at him the same way. Like, he's one of the most dominant big men I've ever seen in my life.
But people
but
forget.
A lot of these
people there were guys like Gary Payton, who was an amazing basketball player, Patrick Ewing. Mm-hmm. You know, Charles Barkley, guys who just didn't get rings because they played during Mike's reign. It was Mike's time. Mm. You know, there are guys that played Bill Russell.
Gary got one off the Chase, but he was the man.
He got one chip chasing, but, you know. But I'm just saying, even with that one championship, he's not revered.
Because
he's not revered the way he should be.
We don't like Kobe. We don't like Melo. Like a guy like Hakeem, like, God bless him, and that's one of my favorites of all time. But his teammates that love him joke about him being a ball hog and never passing. But you don't hear about that with Hakeem Olajuwon. They said Olajuwon was a black hole. He wasn't passing salt to his left or right when eating. Like, he didn't pass. But we don't hear. He doesn't get the knock that a Melo does. And Melo is a pretty decent passer.
I mean, that's also
because
he played in the middle. I think position deals with that. But I think it's also this, B. Austin. Because LaMelo is Carmelo is constantly compared to the best player in the world.
Yeah.
And LeBron is like one of the most unselfish players.
I don't think every small forward is a point forward, and that's not Melo. So I'm like, I don't understand
exactly.
Where – look, Kevin Durant averages .2 more assists for his career than Melo does. But you don't hear that about Kevin Durant. Why? Because why it's – you know, why it's popular to bash Melo right now, it's very popular to be on the KD bandwagon. Unless, of course, you're a diehard LeBron fan and you feel like you can't like anybody but LeBron.
But now there are other reasons for that, too.
It's just weird.
There are other reasons for that, too. If you look at Melo as his brand, I mean, Melo has come off as like the brash guy from the inner city of Baltimore. Melo carries himself a different way as well. So it's easy to bash him. KD has always been the humble, nice guy who decided to stay in the Midwest and play with OKC. When that picture came out of him smoking whatever it was he was smoking, because no one knows what it was he was smoking. Okay, it was a hookah. We're going to say it's a hookah. Yo, but everybody jumped to his defense. I mean, and it's something to be said for that. I mean, that's the reason you build the humble brand, because you get the benefit of the doubt. If that was Melo, there wouldn't have been a benefit of the doubt. Yo, Melo might have got suspended, like, because he just wouldn't get the same. Because
he did his sessions with AI, though. He's created a little bit of that.
I mean, he put money on somebody's head on a DVD in the streets of Baltimore. Like, I mean, so I'm not saying he's innocent, but I'm saying, I mean, this is something that, you know, I tell kids, when you talk to kids, like, listen, your brand will follow you, so you have to be aware of what people think about you. Melo don't get the benefit of the doubt. You know what I mean? So at the end of the day, that's a lot of the reason why he gets slandered the way he does, because he plays during the age of LeBron and the way he carries himself. I mean, it is what it is. And also, he plays for the Knicks. Let's not forget that as well. So that puts a lot of pressure on him. And also, how he even got to the Knicks. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Anyway.
A lot of brand decisions. So,
and you're right.
Kevin
Durant actually had the opportunity to leave Oklahoma City somewhere you wouldn't think anybody wanted to play. And, you know, so those are points in his column.
Yeah, so he's
for people
his
out there
equity
who
is nice
care
right
too much
now.
About. Yeah. Like I said, unless,
nice right
you're die, unless you're a diehard LeBron fan, then – nobody.
Melo is tattooed up. He carried himself a certain way. He was putting money on people's heads in Baltimore. Like, first of all, he's from Baltimore, so. But that's either here nor there. Anyway.
But Jim, you have a game where you played 38 and a half minutes. You shot 66% from the field, 55% from three-point land. You had 13 rebounds to go along with your 62 points. And the first thing people say is he had no assists. Yo, I'm done.
I hate people, yo. Hate people. Like,
exactly, man.
I just hate people. Because here's my thing, right? Like, all right, let's keep it a bean. Here's what bothers me
about
sports.
Shout out to Mensa, man.
Yo. Because my thing is, it's nothing wrong with admitting you don't like somebody. But don't try to act as if you're being objective and you're talking sports and you really, like, are serious about your conversation when you're slandering. If you just came out and be like, yo, I just don't like Melo, I would respect you more. Like, yo, you just don't like him. It is what it is. But no, it's just that he don't make his teammates better.
Yeah,
like,
mask the fact that it's personal and that you really don't like the guy, who you don't know, by the way, but based on his brand and what your perception of his brand is, you don't like him. Like, that definitely, that kills. But we get into a lot of discourses and dialogues and conversations on social media where that's absolutely the case. People are tied up with their emotional feelings about a person's brand, and then that's what they use to argue against the person instead of objective analysis of the game or that person's abilities or whatever. So, yeah.
I wish people would actually watch sports, because an assist total isn't the only determinant of whether you pass the ball to somebody or not. Like, you
Zach
can pass
Randolph
the ball 100 times in a game and get no assists. But the people who don't watch basketball wouldn't know that, because they're just looking at the box score and say, he didn't pass all night. What? What? All right, man.
Yo, I mean, this is true. This is true. People don't watch the game. I mean, because there's so many things, like we talked about earlier. I told you, I wish the NBA kept assists like hockey, because we would look at a lot of players different, man. We definitely would, man. So anyway,
another point just before we leave Melo, because you know we're going to get the fan mail that says, you know, you guys are so pro Melo. Listen, I knock Melo for his defense. I knock Melo for dumb shots. I knock Melo for not rebounding when he's not getting enough shots. I knock Melo all the time, but yo, he scored 62 points, man. Come on now.
Yo,
13 rebounds, no turnovers, and
critical.
They won.
Yeah, how about that? I'm very critical
they don't
of
win a
Melo
lot.
for his defense, because yo, his defense or lack thereof. Yo, Melo can't guard nobody. B. Austin, we were talking earlier about, like, you know, where should Melo go if he decides to leave? And, you know, one of the teams mentioned, we were talking about, like, Chicago as a destination. And I said, listen, I think Thibodeau is one of the greatest coaches in the game right now. But, yo, I don't even know if he can get Melo to play defense, because Melo doesn't guard anything.
Yo, at a certain point, that kind of becomes – you don't know how to play D. Like, I think he's one of those dudes that has gone so long being lazy on D, he can't defend anymore. Like Vince Carter.
Yo,
Vince can't play D. He can't. He doesn't know how.
I think it's one of them things where Melo, like, look, I don't get paid to play D. I get paid to get buckets. So this is what I'm going to do. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, man, let's move on. We got a couple more stories to talk about before we get into our in-depth Super Bowl analysis. This story is about one of B. Austin's players that he was rooting for. Rockets GM Daryl Morey says that Royce White is the worst first-round pick in the history of the National Basketball Association. Thoughts, gentlemen?
I'm a Sixers fan. I beg to differ. I saw Kenny Payne play. But... but actually, that is his point, because this guy doesn't play. He hasn't played.
Yeah.
So by that logic, how can you disagree with him? You know, they spent a pretty high pick on somebody, you know, who hasn't played.
He's one of those dudes where I'll go ahead and admit my bias in not liking him, because I went on my whole mental health thing and tried to defend him and saying the league needed to be more sensitive to mental health. But he's a noodle. He's a noodle because the effort, like, he never gave any effort to put himself in a position, to my knowledge, or I won't say he never gave any effort. He didn't give enough effort, in my estimation, to put himself in a position to do something that he claims he loves to do for a great paycheck and to dispel the rumors and the accusations that he was a noodle. So after a while, you get to see him going on his Twitter rants, his social media stuff. You hear, you know, his baby mama coming at him.
He has a mental disorder, so we don't know exactly what he's dealing with from that standpoint. But, I mean, I understand what you're saying, but at the end of the day, I guess we'll never know.
I mean, he's spreading a lot of
heat
around. He got time to get it. He got time to shoot the club up.
Hey, listen, man, just because you have a mental health issue doesn't mean you don't enjoy fornication like the next man. I mean,
yeah,
you know.
You ain't got to get on a plane to shoot the club up.
That's what I'm saying. You can get in the car. If you like Love Canal, you're going to go get you some Love Canal. That's just what it is. But at the end of the day, I get your point.
He wasn't trying to join the Mile High Club or nothing. He was just, you know.
Back seat of my Jeep. Let's swing the episode. Anyway,
but you know, this is a real confident GM. This is a real confident GM, because he's the one, Jimmy, who actually drafted him. But, you know, he's kind of smelling himself after getting Harden and Dwight Howard, so he can say this kind of stuff now. Yeah, I made the worst draft pick in history, but yeah, you know, but look at me now.
He's been revered because he's one of those guys who you know is a super analytical guy who's into like the whole money ball thing.
Numbers.
So yeah, he's definitely into that. Advanced statistics and things like that. So he's like the one of those guys who everybody's looking at to like build their team. Because you know, even the Sixers' new GM came from I think somewhere in the same organization, right?
From Houston. Yeah.
Yeah. So
Daryl
Morey was big on that.
Team.
So I mean, but what does that say about you that you pick Royce White? You know, so it's a knock on him as well. So.
I say he can clown himself because of what he's doing now. It's one of those deals.
Uh huh. You know, but like we always say, man, one day it's going to be him on the chopping block. Yo, in sports, you are hired to be fired. Anyway.
Yo, and then when he is on the chopping block, Jimmy, they're going to bring that up and throw it in his face. Well, you admitted yourself that you made the worst draft pick.
you admitted to yourself that you made the worst pick in the history of the game. Like, yo, he said ever, though. Let's think about this, man. It's some bad players, man.
Yeah.
Yo, that's got draft
Hashim,
like, he said
Hashim.
The worst ever.
Hashim Shamsheed
was like number two pick.
Mm-hmm. You got Kwame Brown, Michael Jordan being the Michael Jordan, the bad owner.
Matter of fact, we can just pick anybody Mike drafted. Anybody Mike was responsible for is on this list.
Yo, my man drafted. Yo, my man drafted Bismarck Biyombo top 10.
Yo, what's the boy he drafted like in the top 10? The boy that looked like a porn star that played for Gonzaga. The white boy Hacha.
Oh, Adam Morrison. Adam Morrison.
Yo, he drafted Adam Morrison with like the fifth pick, though. What's wrong with Mike?
Oh, man. He's a two-time NBA champion.
Yes, he is. Adam Morrison has more championship rings than Charles Barkley and Karl Malone combined. So in some of our fans'
eyes,
he'd
be
selling
them.
Both of them.
He will be selling them in the next 10 years.
Mark Yo, but Bismarck Biyombo can't play basketball at all on any level.
Yeah. True.
Anyway, last night there was a big game. Well, what we consider a big game? We know that it was just another game. LeBron, Raymond James, and Kevin Wayne Durant met up in Miami, and Kevin Durant is doing what Kevin Durant does. LeBron was
gave
going right
him
back
the
at
monkey.
Him. Yeah, some people said it looked like Rucker Park last night. I mean, at the end of the day, OKC got the win, but what did you guys think about them going back and forth with each other like that?
Yeah, I thought in another overhyped regular season matchup that never lives up to the billing, I enjoyed that few minutes where they were just, you know, going shot for shot. You always want to see that between two superstars because, like we said, that's the matchup that they hyped up for weeks. So at least if the game is not going to – damn, are y'all watching the Louisville game? My bad. But if the game is not
like,
going to live up
like, what
to
the hell was that?
If the game's not going to live up to the hype, at least the matchup could give you a few moments of, you know, of superstardom. And they did go back and forth with each other. LeBron ended up with 34 points, 3 rebounds, 3 assists. Kevin Durant had 33.7 rebounds, 5 assists. And the Thunder just erased a 16-point deficit, was up by 25 at one point. They just blew those guys out of the building. And the quote-unquote big three was in full effect, and this is Kevin Durant without Russell Westbrook and without that superstar center they have, Kendrick Perkins, Little Mouth, you know, who everybody was acting like was a factor 5 years ago. But
yo, he was a difference.
It was impressive, man. It was impressive. Like, you're never just going to outstat LeBron. I don't care what you're doing, you know, but –
yeah, LeBron like wakes up with like half a triple double, like
yeah.
Yo, so LeBron be putting up numbers when he don't even like mean to, like it's not even intentional, yo.
Yo, one of LeBron's worst games I've ever seen him play was one of the best stat lines I've ever seen.
Well, he had that triple double, and then he had a terrible
playoff
game.
Yeah,
and he somehow
quit.
Still got a triple double.
He had it.
Yeah,
he
quit
had
the
a
playoff
triple
game and still
double.
Had a triple double.
Yo, he quit. Yeah, I know, right?
And
he quit and already had a triple double. Probably almost a quadruple.
Yo,
if your team's playing bad enough for you to quit, you probably got like 6 points. Yo, he had a triple double.
Yo, my man quit in the game, had the worst game of his career. Yo, that's a great point.
And had like
29,
10, 11, 8, and 4.
Oh, yeah, numbers and stat categories you didn't even know they kept.
Yo, shout out to LeBron, man, because that is
true.
Shout
out to Delonte West, man. Shout out to Glory, man.
He was the reason for that. Delonte stuffed some stuff up on his mind. But, yeah, another hyped up matchup that didn't live up to the billing, of course. Hopefully they meet up in the championship and we can get a classic series.
That's what will make all this great is if we can really get one of those rivalries. Because when you talk about, like, I guess the greatest rivalry in basketball would be Chamberlain, Russell, or, you know, Magic Bird. They met in the finals, like, you know, so they have historic, like, you know, games where going at each other. So we need to get them back in the finals, you know, having to win.
But I need 7 games of nail biters. Like, a lot of people overrate last year's final series. Because it went down to 7 and maybe the last 2 games went down to the wire. Remember, it was blowout after blowout until, like, game 6. I don't, you know, so I think that series was overrated. I want to see these guys get in the series. I want to see the superstars in the series do their thing. And, you know, I want every game to come. You know, that's a perfect world, perfect sports world. I remember before we get into the Super Bowl talk, Jim, I wanted to mention, did you guys hear the rumors? Chad Ford from ESPN was reporting that Kyrie Irving has been secretly telling people, I guess, you know, people can't keep a secret because it's being reported, that he wants out of Cleveland. So the grumblings have began. He'll probably make a statement and deny it, but that's the report out of Cleveland right now. So Dan Gilbert might be getting his Comic Sans ready again.
That's my next thing. I was about to say, here comes Dan Gilbert with the Times New Roman. You know what I'm saying? He about to get behind the keyboard, you know what I mean, and talk his ish. But, they might just move that franchise to Seattle.
True.
Nobody want to play in Cleveland, you know what I mean? Shout out to Joakim Noah, man. But what the hell is in Cleveland, man? Yo, that would be devastating to the franchise. It's crazy because
Cleveland
we thought they were on their way. Once they hired Mike Brown, we knew what was going to happen. They didn't know. We already knew, though. You can go back and check our episode. They hired Mike Brown. We was like, uh-oh, that's it. They ruined a good thing. And then they drafted the guy who just didn't do anything for him. I mean, that was a terrible draft choice. They had the first pick of the draft and blew it. You know? Anyway, let's get ready to talk some bowl. Before we talk the bowl, I'll let everybody know how to get in touch with us.
All right. Y'all can, you know, as usual, you can check out our website, worldroomsports.com. To call in and speak with us about any of today's topics, dial the Digital Extreme Tech Hotline at 323-410-0012. Press 1 when prompted. If you're already listening from your phone, just press 1 if you want to talk. And I know we got a few people holding right now. Jim, you want to take that call real quick? And then after we take this call, I'll read the Stitcher spot, and then we can get into the Super Bowl. I think that's the homie Rob out in Carson.
Let's see.
Grab that. I'm going to throw some ads up on the site real quick while you're doing that.
Is that you, Rob?
Hello? Yo, what's up, man?
50 Rob!
Hey. What up, man?
Rob, first thing I got to ask you, Rob, because you are calling from California, and right now I'm in cold Philadelphia, man. So what's the weather like out there? I want to live vicariously through you, good brother.
Oh. Well, it's a little bit better, man. It's gloomy, like cloudy right now.
But what's the temperature, though, man? You can't be
I'm about to say,
here.
Cloudy
we're
is better.
Like,
yo, my phone said 1 degree this morning.
It was 1 degree around here, man. What's the temperature I like out there, man?
Like, what, 60? In the 60s.
That's cool. All
right, man. All
right,
man. Never
I can lay on
a
beach right now.
Man. Come on, man. Anyway, Rob, what's going on, man? What's up? What you want to talk about, good brother?
First of all, thank you guys for talking about Carmelo, because it's like me and my dad talk about Carmelo. That's the only, other than when Durant came through the NBA, that's the only guy I ever seen dominate LeBron every time they play.
Oh, no.
I don't know if I want to say dominate. But
I wouldn't say every time they play, but I understand your point that he actually gives him a run for his money. I get your point. And, you know, at the end of the day, well, you can say what you want to say about Carmelo Anthony, but like we previously mentioned, he's one of the top 10 players in the world. you know, he just happens to play it at a time where you have a Durant and a LeBron who play the same position, and as of right now, they're better players than him, so he's going to be compared to them. But I guarantee you that most of these fans who criticize Carmelo, if they're not a fan of the Thunder or the Heat, they would die to have Carmelo on their team.
Mm-hmm. Oh, mm-hmm. Something will. I guarantee you he'll come to L.A. after this season.
That would be a great spot for him. Now, B. Austin and Dev, you guys are Sixers fans. Would you want Melo on your team?
Come on, yo.
Of course. Of course.
Is that a Melo or Thaddeus Young question? Like, come on.
You about to hit me with the thing that people say? What's the thing people say on our Facebook page?
Is this even a real question?
No doubt, man. So that's my point. All the trash people talk about Melo, they would love to have him on their team, though. Rob, who you got in the Super Bowl, Rob? Before we get you out of here, what's your Super Bowl prediction, man?
Oh, come on. I'm Team Cali, dog. You already know who's going. I know a chick that went out with Richard Sherman's brother, but, you know, I'm going with the Seahawks. I met Pete Carroll personally. I'm going with the Seahawks.
You are.
Okay.
Seahawks in the building.
Okay, Seahawks.
So you going?
They're going to lose, but it is what it is.
Oh. I forgot. He's a Bronco. Hey, no. Just
Bronco gang all day long. But, what's your prediction? Give us the score.
The Broncos got the best front seven, but y'all got a horrible secondary. You know that.
Y'all got a horrible quarterback. So what's your,
That quarterback,
I'm not going to call him horrible. I shouldn't have said horrible. Let's just put it this way. He's a second-year quarterback. He may be good in the future, but he's a second-year quarterback. I don't know if he's ready.
A second year that brought him to the Super Bowl? Come on, man. McNabb was second-year quarterback.
That's what I call him.
What that mean?
He's doing
You know this is a team sport. You know this is a team sport, though, right?
He's doing a lot with less.
He's doing a lot with less. He throws the ball 10 times a game. What's he doing a lot of? A lot of handing the ball off.
Anyway, man, we will talk
on the page during the bowl. We will talk after the bowl, and you will be congratulating my Denver Broncos on the Super Bowl champion win. The game will probably be over by halftime, though, so, you know, you can chime in early.
I'll be watching Pete Carroll, one of the best coaches in America. I will say this again, one of the best coaches in America. Hold up that trophy, and there will be for a second time.
You act like Seattle ain't in America.
I mean, it's funny you say that because I think he's a hell of a coach, but I'm old enough to remember when they called him one of the worst coaches in America when he was the Patriots coach. And it's funny how, you know, he turned that all around. I don't know if you guys remember when he left the Patriots, but he was considered a fail.
A bust.
They always say that because he's that close with the players. Even in L.A., they say he was a fool.
Sure.
Because he would go in the hood and he would talk to the kids. And he would try to get them to come to USC to play football.
I mean, I guess so. He took his checkbook with him, too.
Here we go. Come on.
Anyway, Rob, thanks for calling in, man. Don't forget, man, we're going to have a special show the day of the bowl. And also, you know, check back with us on Facebook, man. You bring a lot to the page, man. Keep it up.
A lot. I bring a lot of hate.
I mean, you know, it is. hate is a new love,
man.
Yeah. In the words of Marvin Gaye, man, only love can conquer hate, good brother.
Only love can conquer hate.
All right, champ. Take it easy, though. All
right, King.
All right, Rob. All right. Peace, man. All right.
Icky.
That's
high THC Rob,
out in Carson, California, holding it down for everybody. All right, so this Super Bowl talk is brought to you guys by Stitcher Smart Radio. You can now hear our show, The War Room, on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows, The War Room, directly from your computer, iPhone, Android phone, BlackBerry, Palm phone, tablets, iPads, whatever you got. The latest episode is always available for you. No syncing needed, no memory or storage wasted. Downloading is too easy. Click on the Stitcher logo on our website and listen, or you can download to your mobile phone directly from that page. Before you do, enter the promo code, The War Room, all one word, for a chance, well, to be entered into a contest to win a cash prize. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. The Super Bowl is here. All right, so before we get into this in-depth analysis of the actual game, let's talk about a few of the things that have gone on in this week and a half leading up to the game. We all know about all the controversy surrounding the end of the NFC Championship game with Richard Sherman, while the NFL went ahead and fined him $7,875. I don't know who came up with that actual fine. He was fined
$7,875
for taunting. And it wasn't what a lot of people may have thought. It's not about the whole rant in his post-game interview. It was about giving the choke signal to the 49ers sideline after Colin Kaepernick threw the interception. I would say that's consistent. You know, the whole choke and the neck slash thing has become, you know, such a taboo thing in sports. Like, I don't look at it as being a big deal, but all the professional sports leagues do now, and you get fined for doing it. I guess it is what it is.
I want to know how they determine that number. Like, is that did somebody need money for like a certain purpose?
$75. Yeah, they couldn't just get for $8,000 or $75,000.
Is there a checklist or something like, all right, well, it's $1,000 for this, $1,500 for this. Like, is it the way he did it, and there's like a certain number?
Now,
I don't know.
It depends on how many hands you put on your neck to do the choke sign. If you put one hand on your neck, that's $1,250. If you put the other hand on top of that hand to do a full choke, then that's another $1,250.
Got you.
His facial expression, that was another $500.
To me, this is crazy. And the one thing I can say about
the sideline cost him another grand.
This entire NFL playoffs, like, this will be remembered regardless of what happens on Sunday as, like, the Richard Sherman playoffs, because this guy has somehow become a household name. I mean, the guy
is
on, like, Good Morning America, for Christ's sake. Like,
it's just
crazy how this guy plays cornerback, and I've never seen a cornerback get this kind of publicity and notoriety since maybe Deion. And you know, I mean, he's a good player. I mean, I'm not knocking his talent, but it's crazy how he's going to get paid, and he's going to get a lot of endorsements. Watch, this guy is a recognizable figure now, so it's just amazing to see a guy who we all knew could play the game of football. We talked about him on our videos last year, but now he's a star.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, it happened within like a 2-week span. I mean, we've all heard, you know, Richard Sherman and, you know, him running off at the mouth a little here and there throughout the season and the end of last season. But given all of that, he was still not a household name. If you watch football, you know, you didn't have to be a purist to know who he was, but it's different now. After the whole thing in the NFC Championship game, everybody knows who this guy is now.
Yo,
and most of those people probably never seen him play.
My mom doesn't even watch football. She knows who Richard Sherman is. The thing is, he's the face of their team. I mean, part of it is because their quarterback is only a second-year quarterback. And, you know, but at the end of the day, he's the face of the Seattle Seahawks, playing cornerback. When have you seen that?
And they don't want Marshawn to be the face because he got gold teeth.
They don't want Marshawn to be the face of their franchise, first off. He don't want to talk at all. And, you know, he got
I'm all about that action, boss.
Greatest quote ever, yo.
Smooth.
I'm all about that action, boss.
I mean, yeah, how you feeling? Smooth.
Hey, well, let's talk about that. You know, if anybody out there doesn't know what we're talking about, you know, that's Marshawn Lynch. At Media Day, which is a mandatory media session for Super Bowl participants. What did you guys think about that when you first saw, you know, what Marshawn did?
Yo,
I thought that
he's a perfect example of an athlete that's able to balance herbal remedies with high performance. And so he kept the glasses on, and, you know, from one consumer of herbal products allegedly to another allegedly. That brother consumes at a decent rate.
Yeah, well, he's not with talking to the media because he didn't talk to him all season. Got like a $50,000 fine for that. He's admitted on media day and in their media availability that happened earlier today. He admits, like, I'm just out here so I won't get fined. So he's basically trying to tell these people while they're in his face, stop asking me questions because I'm not out here for that. Like, dude kept asking, he kept trying to get a question out of him today, and he kept cutting the dude off like, I'm not even out here for that, boss. I'm just out here so I won't get fined.
I ain't even out here
for that,
boss.
Won't fine you for sitting there in the interview telling them that I'm out here so I won't get fined? They're going to find a way to fine you for that.
I'm all about that action,
boss. I'm just trying not to get fined, boss. That's the only reason I'm out here. I don't even get this whole
thing. My new thing now, man. Everybody boss
yeah.
now. I'm about that action, boss.
I'm just trying not
thing,
to get
though,
fined,
right?
boss.
It is a joke. It is a joke.
Yo,
but the great players and a lot of successful players
in
any
Southern
sport.
Southern California, my man is so L.A. Like, the way he talks and acts is so South Central with it.
But listen, though, what I'm saying is a lot of the great players and great athletes, they learn how to use the media as opposed to, like, you know, getting this attitude, you know, the Rasheed Wallace.
Jimmy,
attitude,
he
like,
is
you know.
Using it. He got a Skittles endorsement.
I mean, no, but what I'm saying is you see guys, like, who learn how to use it to their advantage to either, like, build their brand one way or the Phil Jackson approach where they use it to motivate their players and
yeah,
or other players how to affect them. Yo, I mean, he openly
he
talks
about
it in
action,
his book,
bro.
Which you can get for free at audibletrial.com/warroomsports. But he talks about how, you know, to use the media to your advantage. I mean, and so I would like to see more players do that, but this approach is kind of hilarious to me because,
yeah.
like B. Austin said, he is so South Central, and it's just comedy, man. But it also shows that the media day is out of control.
But did y'all
yeah,
peep
I'm waiting.
The
I'm
golden...
waiting to see homie on the sideline and some Dickie attire and house shoes.
Did y'all peep the gold Beats by Dre that he had on his head while he was doing
yeah,
all this?
Yeah.
That could possibly turn into a small endorsement deal because
Y'all gotta chill with these Beats by Dre too, yo. I saw a couple people today. Just today, a couple people riding in the car with their Beats on their head. I'm like,
they probably
use
them as Bluetooth.
They have literally taken headphones and branded them to the point where people want to be seen with the Beats. It's out of control.
Right. You're not even
out of control right now.
Driving with headphones on your head, but
and
yeah,
go
I'm thinking that could possibly turn into an endorsement for Marshawn because what he's doing in the media is kind of in line with this new campaign they have. You know, they can just have him not saying anything. Like they do with, you know, the whole Kevin Garnett commercial and the Colin Kaepernick. He'd be cool with that. Just walk past the media and the fans not saying anything because he doesn't like to talk to them. So he fits right in.
That is a crazy campaign.
So.
Hey, yo, Dev, it's funny, though, because, like, I have Beats. I know you have Beats, too, right? But, yo, I just read an article talking about how, like, the quality of how they make the Beats now because, like, they're so popular that, yo, it takes, like, $2 to make them, Johnson. They sell them for, like, a tray. And because they mass produce them the way they do now, that the quality is not even as good as it was when they first came out. But anyway, that's a side note. But I see.
I get it. Because
it's all due to athletes.
You know, all the lemmings go out there, and they're not even looking for anything particular as far as quality is concerned. They're just buying them because they're popular. So,
yo, shout out to DeMarco Robinson, who's in our chat room right now.
Why spend a bunch of money?
Because he made a point about the Beats. He made a point about the Beats that I agree completely with. He said, yo, they're overhyped and the cords break easily because I had to get a second cord. Well, It came with two,
yeah.
Because my first cord broke. Yo, you still on your first cord?
I'm still on my first cord, but I think the joints, like, they just, like, if I wear them too long, they just hurt. Like, don't try and squeeze my damn head.
They definitely are overrated, yo. Anybody know any better headphones, man? Hit us up and let us know what it is, because I want some new Jones, but I'm Yo, and Jetty Mar just chimed in. I don't know how to pronounce this, so I don't want to sound crazy, but Sennheiser's. But he's the second person to tell me that, so I got to look them up. And we are way off on a tangent because before we talk about the bowl.
He's talking about headphones. He's supposed to be talking about the Super Bowl.
But the thing is, though, Beats, here's how we bring it back. Beats is one of the major sponsors of the Super Bowl, so you see all the athletes on media day with him, and we'll see what happens with Marshawn and that, you know, that endorsement.
All right, but real quick before we move on, I just want to let everybody know out there, we are going to talk about the Super Bowl for the rest of the show. So if you want to call in and, you know, give us your pick or anything else about the game or comment on anything we're talking about, make sure you call in. That number is 323-410-0012. All right. Now that we got that out of the way.
Yo.
All right.
Yeah.
So,
hey, real quick, though, Dev. Real quick, though, Dev. Jetty Mar, I don't know. I just looked up what you told me to. They got some reasonable ones at $100, but they got one pair that costs $1,500. Well,
damn,
you gentlemen spend $1,500. Yo,
it better sound like I'm in the studio.
Stereo.
It better sound like I'm in the studio while the person is making the song that I'm listening to. I wanna,
yo, that joint gotta come with a free month full of twirlies or something. Like, it gotta come with something. But, like $1,500.
Like,
oh, you love that action, boss.
No, let's move on, though, Jimmy. Let's move on. Let me stop.
You're right.
Yo.
Somebody need to jump out them headphones. Like,
the royal penis is clean, Your Highness.
Yo, I'm about that action, boss.
All right, so look, man, there's a lot of talk about Peyton Manning and this game and his legacy. Do any of you gentlemen believe, I know Jimmy don't even give a damn because his team happens to be in the bowl, the Denver Broncos. I'm pretty sure you don't give a damn either way. But do any of you gentlemen actually believe the hype that Peyton Manning's legacy is tied to this game? Is there some merit to
Here's
that?
Here's the thing. It is tied to this game. It shouldn't be. It shouldn't be. But again, we've reached the point in society where people overvalue championships in a team game. And so, with that being said, like some of us that are old enough to go back and remember the great Dan Marino. You can't tell me Dan Marino isn't one of the greatest quarterbacks you've ever seen. I mean, he took two dudes, Harry, Larry, and Mike, off the street and made them into the Marx Brothers. He was a great quarterback. He was a great quarterback, and he doesn't have a Super Bowl. He doesn't have a ring. But in this day and age, rings is how you measure success, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, but
yeah, I mean, here's the thing.
But when you say that, oh, go ahead, John. Go ahead.
No, what I was going to say is I agree with B. Austin that it will matter, but I don't know if it should. I agree with that.
Because here's the thing.
It's also funny because Jetty Mar says in our chat room that the media will make a big deal, win or lose, because he's Peyton Manning. And I agree with that. But the thing is, it's like he is definitely one of the greatest quarterbacks to ever play. And we kind of – but the thing is, at the quarterback position, more so than any other position, for some reason, championships always come up. When we're talking about the greatest linebackers or the greatest tight ends, no one even cares about championships. But at the quarterback – but think about that, though. Any other position in football, we talk about the greatest running backs, like, and people say Barry or Emmitt. No one even cares about championships. But when it comes to that quarterback position – yo, it's like, how many championships he got? So it will matter. Do I think it should? No, because football, to me, is the consummate team sport. There have been teams with terrible quarterbacks to win a Super Bowl. I mean, you have a lot of teams that win Super Bowls with great quarterbacks, but at the end of the day, there's some average quarterbacks with Super Bowl championships. Let's not get it twisted. This is a complete team sport. There are three phases to the game. Coaches matter. Everything matters. There are so many things that have to go right to win a championship. Mm-hmm. So you can't hold it against one player who doesn't. Now,
right.
If he makes big mistakes in the game, then that'll go against his legacy. But if he plays well and they lose, I don't see how, you know, you can hold it against him.
See, this is why I think, you know, everybody trying to tie his legacy to this game is the silliest thing in the world. It's because we talk about Peyton Manning in a manner right now as if he's never won the Super Bowl. Yo, he's done everything he's done as far as the record book, but he also has won a Super Bowl. Now you guys are talking about, you know, the age that we live in where championships are, you know, the biggest determinant of anything. It's not even just championship anymore. It has to be multiple championships now. It's not good enough. You know, you'll knock somebody for not winning a championship, but then when somebody is great and they only have one, there is a whole contingent of people that's going to make a case against that person because they, quote-unquote, only have one. Dude, like Jimmy just said, do you know how many things have to go right for a team to win the championship?
Yo, and what's crazy about it is
Peyton more than one time, but that's a testament to their organization, not just one.
Yo, Peyton is being judged, right, differently than any other quarterback. And, again, we talked about how Melo is judged because he played at a time when LeBron played. Well, Peyton is being judged because of Brady. Brady has three. I mean, they cheated, but Brady still has three. Because at the end of the day, Brett Favre got one championship and spent the rest of his career throwing the ball to the other team. But he had that one championship.
And had a pass.
So it was like he got his chip. You know what I mean? But Peyton,
so that's
on the
what
other
saying,
hand,
Jim, how come – why is there a pass there, though? Because Brett Favre definitely gets the championship pass. Peyton Manning
because Peyton,
has won.
Peyton's biggest rival.
People still
so to speak, I don't agree with this, but we know Peyton is judged against Brady. Like, if he came any other time,
so
it wouldn't be the same.
It's about your rival and your era.
It's about his rival. Like, you know what I'm saying? So it's like this is the Brady and Peyton era. So he's always going to be judged against him.
That means Dan Marino is a straight piece of sausage because his rival is Joe Montana. So Dan Marino must be a piece
of trash. Dan Marino is polar bear poop.
Yo, it's kind of crazy because it really disrespects the game because it de-emphasizes the importance of all the other units on a team, all the other players, and it boils it down to what your quarterback does and the wins he amasses and the championships that he wins. And
that's
don't
funny.
Get me wrong, we do understand that the quarterback position is probably the most important singular position, but it's a 53-man roster and 22 starters. So you can be the greatest quarterback in the world. If you don't have a good line, you're not winning.
It's funny that you said that because I was just talking to somebody on our Facebook page about oversimplifying a complex game. Oversimplifying a complex game because you know right before the show we put up that versus between Reggie White and Bruce Smith. One of the very first people who answered, I'm not saying any names, his answer was whichever one has the most sacks. So I told him, like, you're kind of doing both of these guys who are superstars a disservice because you're oversimplifying a very complex game.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You have to actually watch football to know that, you know, you can't just judge everything on numbers because if you want to talk about who has more sacks, it took Bruce Smith 3 years to get two more sacks in his career than Reggie White. And, you know, I don't want to get off on a tangent, so that's not my point. My point is you made a great point in saying how people like to oversimplify stuff.
The oversimplification of the game, and that's my biggest issue with fans, although, you know, we love our audience and we love our listeners, and couldn't be here without them. But my biggest issue with a lot of the folks that we talk to, particularly when it comes to football, NFL football, is they don't understand that this game at that level is far more akin to chess than it is to the game that they remember playing in Pop Warner or high school. Like, this is a chess match, so it's so far beyond just stats. Stats are a part of it. But there's so many different components that go into a successful team, that go into a successful player at a particular position. The guy with the best physical attributes or athleticism is usually never the best player at a particular position.
What I always try to convey to people is you use stats to back up your opinion. You don't use stats to create your opinion.
I agree completely with that.
I'll give an example of why watching the game matters, and it's from this year's playoffs. I was having an argument with someone about the game. Remember the Chiefs played the Colts in the first round of the playoffs, and the Colts won that game. It was a very close game. They came back or what have you. But and we were talking about different plays of the game. There was a play in the middle of that game where the safety that who graduated from you guys' alma mater, he chased down someone, and I think it was Dwayne Bowe. And this was like in the middle of the second quarter, chased him down, play where Bowe broke loose, chased him down, tackled him, stopped him. And I think Andy Reid then went for it on fourth down and ended up getting no points. Fact of the matter is, if he doesn't chase him down, he runs in for six, and that entire game changes. That's just right. One play. Someone just looking at the box score doesn't see that play and doesn't understand that football, when that whole cliche of football is a game of inches, that is accurate. There are so many things that go into not only winning a championship but winning a singular game that you can't just break anything down by looking at numbers. Someone just looking at numbers would think that Matthew Stafford is the greatest thing since sliced bread or XNXX.com, but fact of the matter is Matthew Stafford has issues
in the game inspection stuff that they ain't going to get.
Exactly. So, I mean, that's why, you know, we have a call on the line who wants to talk about a little football. Let's get DeMarco on. DeMarco, what's going on?
Hey, what's up, you guys? I'm listening to this, and I really do understand what you're saying because I watch somebody like – because I'm a Raider fan, and I watch somebody like Terrell Pryor.
Sorry to hear
you
that.
Get a lot of people who – No, I love it.
I mean, I'm a Broncos fan, so
he's
I don't really
Broncos
rock with
fan,
the Raiders, but I get
yeah.
– All right, we're going to have to get – I hope y'all lose this. I hope y'all lose, so. But when I hear people speak about Terrell Pryor, that is the one thing I always have to tell people is that they don't understand that this dude not only came in and didn't get to get reps with his players and didn't get to know and didn't get timing down with his own receivers, and you hear even some of my own Raider fans who talk about and say, no, he's just bad, he's just that. And I'm like, no, you guys have to realize this is a chess game. It's not just who can throw the ball faster, who can run faster, who's the biggest, who's the fastest. It's not that anymore because it goes down to those inches. Now, going back to what I really want to talk about with Peyton Manning, I really think all this hype really just comes from how much we've the NFL has hyped up just the quarterback position. I think it's because they see how much Peyton Manning has blown the stats out of the water, and if he hasn't been consistent, he's been beyond better than consistent. And we see, and every time we think about somebody like Tom Brady, we apply him to Bill Belichick. We say, oh,
right.
Bill Belichick and Tom Brady. No one ever says Peyton Manning and this coach, Peyton Manning and that coach. I mean, once Tony Dungy retired, nobody said any other head coach.
That's
a
great
quarterback.
You're right, because we actually hear people talk about Peyton Manning right now and act like Denver's offensive coaches don't even exist. Like, Peyton is the coach.
Really? I nominated Peyton Manning to be, you know, get a coach's award. I'm guilty.
Those are excellent points, DeMarco. Great points you make, because people act as if Peyton doesn't even need a coach. Part of the reason why they promote the quarterbacks that way is the marketing of the league, because, you know, the NBA took the approach years ago to market individual players. So now football has picked the position of quarterback and kind of like made, these are guys that get the money, so they figured, listen, these are the guys we're going to promote as the face of the league. When you think about ads, like national ads, I mean, you think about Peyton Manning has Papa John's, you got the State Farm ad, and you don't really see any other players getting any sort of endorsements that, you know.
Yo, offensive linemen haven't been in commercials since they were doing Ice Attorney gloves with Dan Marino.
And they only got in there because of him.
Great point. Because if you think about it, Jimmy, the only players they even count win-loss records for are quarterbacks. You never hear them, like you said earlier, you don't hear a linebacker, you don't say, he got 160 wins in his career. They don't even say that about any other position.
But you
like
know what's funny, though,
the
we're guilty of it, too. We're guilty of it, too. When we're talking about players, you don't even bring up championships for other positions.
Yeah. We're definitely guilty of it. And, you know, DeMarco, within the context of this conversation with Peyton, one of the things that I always look at is Jim Irsay and Bill Polian, they get celebrated a lot for the decision to draft Peyton, hand the keys to Peyton, and see him, you know, mature into what he is. And while I do think that Peyton Manning is my favorite quarterback probably of all time, I actually down or slam Polian and Irsay because I believe that it's irresponsible to build a franchise and an organization around one player the way that they did. Now, that's
perfect
not
pathetic.
To take anything away
perfect
from
pathetic.
Anything away from Brady, because I think Brady is an all-time great. But Bill Belichick and the front office of New England never took that approach.
Mm-hmm.
They built
yep.
team.
Yeah.
They built a team, and they addressed the different units,
absence.
Special teams, defense. Yeah, so that if Brady goes down, sure, their chances of winning decrease exponentially, but they still can be competitive unit to unit.
Mm-hmm.
The Colts built a team
on
the thing offense,
about the
defense, and
special
Matt
teams
Castle. Around
Matt
one
Castle.
Dude.
But here's
yeah,
the thing,
yeah,
B. Austin. That's a great point. That's a great point, and I thought about that. But that works twofold because – I don't think you should build around one player that way. I agree with you with that.
Of course.
If they didn't, would he be celebrated? Would he have still been able to put up these, what they call them, Star Wars numbers, if they
mm-hmm.
didn't build around
I mean,
him and give him the leeway to play the game that way? So it's kind of a give and take because here's something else I think about all the time when we talk about sports. We talk about championships,
well, hold
right?
Hold on, Jim. Real quick.
Real quick.
DeMarco, give us your Super Bowl pick before we get you out of here. We want to hold you
I'm
on here while we're talking.
I'm picking the Seahawks.
Of course you're going to say that, man. Yo, DeMarco, make sure you on our Facebook page, facebook.com/WarRoomSports, if you're on there, Twitter or whatever. We
got
to talk on
this
Super Bowl, man. We got to talk on this bowl, man.
I got a lot
all right,
to say.
Thanks for your call, man. We appreciate it.
Thanks, DeMarco.
All right,
but the point I was getting ready to make, gentlemen, about that is, like, he's been able to put up the Star Wars numbers. And a
mm-hmm.
lot of times what I find funny, when you think about sports, we always talk about he doesn't have a championship. But at the end of the day, yo, when you put up them kind of numbers, you get paid. And I think a lot of times we don't think about that.
That
some people would rather be paid than to have a bunch of bowls. Like, would you rather have gotten Charles Barkley's paychecks or would you rather have gotten Adam Morrison's two rings? You know what
well,
I'm saying?
Well, Jimmy, Mike Vick got paid and he didn't put up no numbers.
Hey, look, so he's winning. In a game of life,
he's winning.
So what I'm saying is Peyton Manning may only have one ring, but Peyton Manning has been compensated very well for the way he's played
very
the numbers,
well,
those Star Wars numbers. So at the end of the day, man, I think about that. I know most people don't think about that when they look at sports. All they care about is he wants to win, and he want to get paid, too. So
they look at it from a fan perspective.
Yeah, you got to think about it from,
dudes,
like, a quality of life
perspective. That's why
these
dudes dish you when they see you out in the street because they're rich and they think they're better than you. So
so at the end of the day, like, because Polian built that team the way he did, he was able to put up those crazy numbers, but, it turned out they weren't able to win championships.
I think had they built a more balanced team, and to be honest,
they did
Denver,
win the championship,
your squad is
That's
a more
like,
is a more
yeah,
balanced team.
Yo, how about that? We going it now?
No, they did. They did, and I think that's a honestly that's a testament to Peyton. But I feel like had they had a more balanced team, such as the way Denver is built, he would have had more success. He would have had more success had they not had to depend so much on Peyton. But that's speculative. We don't know.
But at the same time, yeah, you're right because when you get to the playoffs, deep in the playoffs, you know, you're facing the best of the best, and they're going to devise a plan. I mean, we can't say that it would have automatically meant more success. I mean, these guys were in the mix deep every single year. So,
and that's what
and
I'm
they
saying.
They always started
and
the season like
9-0,
10-0. So,
yeah, as we already stated, so many things have to go right to win a championship.
Right.
And specifically within football, when there's not a series, but there's one game for everything, one game you lose and you're out.
Series.
But like just the best team doesn't always win in football. A lot of times in the sports where you have a series, the best team wins. But in football, the best team doesn't always win. I mean, if the Patriots that lost to the Giants, the Patriots team that was 16-0 in the regular season, if they play that Giants team 10 times, the Giants might win twice. But the fact of the matter is they won when you count it.
They won on those two on the two times that they were going to win.
David Tyree didn't know where he was.
Played 10 more. They're
going to
lose all 8
bowl.
Eight
he was in another planet when it happened, but he made the play when it counted. Mentally,
right, so look,
he was in Arizona somewhere.
Piggybacking off this whole thing, since we're talking about individual players, I know everybody out there, if you don't know, Jimmy's a Broncos fan. So, like I said, this is another thing. That's why I keep saying I know you don't really care much about this stuff that we're talking about. But if we had to pick a player in this game on either side, you know, Seattle or Denver, that you're pulling for the most to win this championship, you know, briefly, because we don't have much time left and we got to actually
get
our predictions
in.
What guy would you be pulling for the most to win a championship, you know, if you weren't a fan of the team?
I mean, I'm joking with Pot Roast, but probably Champ Bailey.
Yeah.
I'm joking with Pot Roast, but probably Champ. Because, I mean, Peyton, of course, but he already has one. But Champ has been, you know, well, Champ ain't been nothing the last couple of years. But over his career, Champ has been one of the best players at his position. So it would be Champ Bailey for me.
Champ Bailey was the first name that came to mind. But as much as I think that it's silly that people do tie Peyton Manning's legacy to this game, like, I do want him to shut those people up. So, I said one, but it's definitely between those two guys. And they play on the same team, so I guess I could pull for both of them. But, yeah, Champ Bailey, man, I think he's put in a lot of work in this league, and I would love to see him be able to hoist, that trophy. And I hope he has a good game.
We don't even have to ask B. Austin. B. Austin wants Peyton Manning to win the NBA Finals, too.
Yo, Peyton and seven, man. Peyton and seven.
I'm trying to see my man get the MLB trophy. Yo, I'm trying to see Peyton get another one. But to echo Dev's sentiment, I mean, honestly, on the low, Champ has been one of my favorite players. And at that position, I was just I was so happy for them to stop talking about Daryl Green in D.C., man, when Champ got here. So I've always rooted for Champ. Definitely want to see him get one. And on the other side of the ball, since, you know, as an Eagles fan, I don't really root for other teams, I want Richard Sherman to realize some success. I'm a Richard Sherman fan. I'm a Beast Mode fan. And, he's going to get that shake. And Bobby Wagner. I like Bobby Wagner. I like his game.
Yeah, Richard Sherman and Peyton Manning threw a couple barbs at each other, because a few months ago Richard Sherman said he's a great quarterback, but he tends to throw ducks. So Peyton Manning, they asked him about it today, and he was like, I can't deny that. You know, I throw some ducks sometimes, but I've thrown a lot of ducks for a lot of yards and a lot of touchdowns. So,
In that article, Richard Sherman also said that Peyton is the best quarterback in the world, too.
He was very complimentary of him. He was very complimentary of him. Of course, you know, especially with Peyton throwing a jab back, it gives them fuel to make something of it. But, real quick, because we only have, 5 minutes left, keys to victory real quick, and then right after we talk about the keys to victory to each team, we can give our predictions real quick. You know, we're having a pregame show on Sunday, so don't hold it against me if my prediction changes between now and Sunday. But keys to the game, fellas. What does each team have to do briefly to win this game?
Broncos,
he said the Broncos show up. I'll be very
brief. On the Broncos side, it's all about run defense. That's why I said Pot Roast, because Pot Roast, when he plays well, Terrence Knight, when he plays well, our run defense plays well. And, you know, if he's able to get off to a good start and get them in a couple three and outs or short drives in the beginning to get our offense on the field, I think that's key. For me with Seattle, and not even trying to be smart, I think the only way Seattle has a chance to win this game is if Russell Wilson steps his game up. Because he hasn't played well in the playoffs or even at the end of the season. And
you know what,
kind of scared. So
he's going to have to, because they're going to force him to, because they're going to try to load it up in the beginning against Marshawn Lynch. Because everybody knows that Seattle's key to the game is to try to control the clock with the running game and kind of keep Denver's offense off the field. I don't know if they're going to be able to keep them off the field long enough to stop that machine from scoring points. It should be interesting to see, but Russell Wilson will definitely have to step his game up, because they will be keying on Marshawn Lynch on Sunday.
Seattle side of the ball, offensively, they have to stay ahead of the chain, meaning putting themselves in third, no longer than third and fourth, third and three, opportunities where they can run and pass to give their offense more options. instead of having to depend on Russell Wilson's arm. On the defensive side of the ball, they've got to take away the first, second, and third read for Peyton Manning to give their front four an opportunity to get to Manning. Because as Jimmy always likes to say, look, if you, any quarterback you can get paws on, is going to have a bad day if you can lay your paws on him. And we all know Peyton is going to get the rock out of his hand.
You put
Denver
your paws on
is going to come down.
His neck might mess up on him or something.
Neck might break off. Denver has to come down, sell out to stop the run, fill the gaps, and force Russell Wilson to make throws and make not just throws, but intermediate to long throws. And I think what's going to happen is Jack Del Rio is going to place his faith in DRC, Adams and Champ Bailey to come through in man coverage, bump and run coverage on those receivers.
Yo, here's the thing, though.
We talk about
Russell Wilson and what he has to do, yo. But yo, look who he's throwing to, and that's why I'm kind of confident.
Yo,
in our
you
secondary.
Not, yo, Kirsten Baldwin ain't bad though. They're not.
Yo,
bad.
Kirsten Baldwin are great fourth and fifth options on a good team.
Yo, my man says fifth. If you fifth option, you ain't even on the team, really.
Yeah. And we know, you know, like I told you guys the other day, I think the fact that, you know, the Legion of Boom is such a nasty secondary, and, you know, they like to get up in your face and just man up, bump and run, I think that could play against them because, you know, Wes Welker patrolling the middle, and Denver likes to, I like to call them picks, you guys like to call them rubs, you know, when they're running, when Wes Welker's running east to west. And people are getting
the
in people's
east
way.
East and west route runner in the league, according to
him. He's the best east and west route runner in the league. So as he's going, you know, sideline to sideline, and other receivers are stepping up to make that path a little easier for him, I think that's going to play a big role in the game. Like, I don't think the Broncos should come out and just try to test the Seahawks vertically right away. I think you loosen them up a little bit with the little short east and west routes, and then then you go north and south on them. But,
I think,
quick question, because we only got like 1 minute, and we got to give predictions too. Quick question to you guys. Have we crowned Richard Sherman too early? And the reason I say that, because Darrell Reason has just come off of an ACL. This is his first season back. And I thought about one thing that's different between those guys. Darrell Reeves comes out and lines up against your best receiver on
everybody.
Every single play of the game, no matter where they're lined up. Sherman doesn't do that. He sticks to his side for the most part. Like, have we crowned him too early?
Got opposite
Should
him.
We
like,
give?
Sherman's whole secondary is dope.
And there, that's what I'm saying. Should we hold off on that? Should we see what Darrell Revis is after a year removed from ACL,
or should we just
go ahead and live in the moment?
We should by virtue of Sherman's production, and as Jimmy brought out, I don't know that it's not that Richard Sherman can come down and line up on both sides or play in the slot. Their slot man, which is really a testament to Earl. Yo, Earl Thomas actually lines up a lot of times on the slot, and to have a safety that's able to do that, that takes a lot of the responsibility away from Sherman to have to move around because of that. And the other guy
right,
in the league that really should be considered is Joe Hayden, for real. Like, Darrell got to show me a lot.
Let's do this then. Let's take this to social media. Probably not today. Let's probably do it tomorrow morning when we know everybody's on. We're going to ask that question, and you go on there and drop your gems and drop your knowledge on there. As far as predictions
drop
go,
a gem on them.
I got the Broncos by 12. B. Austin, what you got?
I got Peyton Manning and Champ Bailey by 12.
All right.
I got the Broncos by 20. I got the Broncos by 20.
Well, let's get on out of here.
Anyway, man, thanks for joining us in the War Room, good people. Shout out to everybody in the chat room, those on Facebook, Twitter, and all the callers who chimed in to holler at us. We appreciate all the support. For those callers we couldn't get to, listen to our Super Bowl special or tune in next week. As a matter of fact, do both. Tune in Super Bowl Sunday at 3 p.m. for an hour long. It's a quick hour, but we're going to do like a pregame tailgate. Call in, give us all your predictions, and, you know, chop it up with us before the big game starts. And we're going to be live from our Super Bowl party in our cabin. Atop the Blue Ridge Mountains of Virginia, we throw a huge party out there. If you're in the area, holler at us. We'll provide last-minute coverage of Super Bowl 48 and discuss any twists that game day may bring if somebody gets caught smoking verbal herbals. You don't want to miss that. So until then, enjoy your weekend, and we'll see you right back here next time. Be sure to catch our conversations on Facebook as well as Twitter. That's at War Room Sports on all platforms. WarroomSportsTV.com for all of our video content. And until next time, everybody, as we always say, don't accept mediocrity. Be steadfast in the war against ignorance. We'll see you chumps on top.
Every Thursday, 6 to 8, they do this. Shout out to Dez, PJ, Austin, Doc Bay on replay. WarroomSports.com. Get that mobile app. If not, dial 323-0012. They be going and you sensitive, then oh well. Physical podcast, let's talk sports. Showtime like magic in the block push. Listen live, push one to join in. Rip your team or listen for your enjoyment. Hip-hop scholars, pit stop and knowledge. Should be in sports credits, I ain't talking college. Five guys, no beef though. Corporate secrets, but the streets know. Belafonte, I got a G-flow. KC, royalty, I'm in beast mode. 2 hours, get your game up. Who's the best in sports cast? You better name us. War Room Sports.
War Room Sports, www.warroomsports.com. What? Ain't no more to it.